Well, I was 17, a great big kid, the year that I enlisted. I can't recall just why I did, my mom says I insisted. I had a strange idea then, Uncle Sam was right. Mom, she cried, she signed the card, and I went off to fight. Got off the plane in Vietnam, it didn't seem like war. With all I saw, I started wondering what we'd come there for. The officers got drunk at night, cheated on their wives. Those guys on the other side were fighting for their lives. You know, the Army tried some fancy tricks to bring them to their knees, like Agent Orange defoliants to clear the brush and trees. We'd fly above the trail all day in clouds of poison spray. I never thought that chemical would take my life today. But I just found out this morning, the doctor told me so. Says they killed me in Vietnam and I didn't even know. I tried hard to forget that war like everybody else did. I settled down with Kathy, we tried to raise some kids. Our little son has birth defects, the doctors had their doubts. They never said what caused it, but I think I just found out. Agent Orange came home with us, we carry it with us still. It stays inside for years and years before it starts to kill. You might get cancer of the liver, might get cancer of the skin, or a VA disability that you might not live to win. I have this dream most every night, I'm flying above the trees. Those yellow guys down on the trail, some of them look like me. Been trying so long to get away, running hard and slow. Been dying for 11 years, I wonder if they know. The doctor says I've got some time, he was trying to be kind. I've never been a radical, but this has changed my mind. And now I'd be so proud to hear my son say, hell no, we won't go. You killed our dad in Vietnam and he didn't even know. Well, I got the news this morning, the doctor told me so. Says they killed me in Vietnam and I didn't even know.
Thanks for listening to great speeches and interviews on Access Sacramento and The Voice. I'm Steve Lerman. We're continuing with the White House coup. It's about retired Marine Corps Major General Smedley Butler, who claimed that wealthy businessmen were plotting to create a fascist veterans organization and use it to, in a coup d'etat, to overthrow the United States President Franklin D. Roosevelt. With Butler as the leader of that organization, Mike Thompson investigates why so little is known about this biggest ever peacetime threat to American democracy.
It's a matter of record that the membership of the American Liberty League included some of the most famous names in business. Its benefactors read like a who's who of household products that are still familiar today. General Foods, the makers of Maxwell House coffee, Bird's Eye and Colgate, Heinz Foods, U.S. Steel and car manufacturer General Motors were all supporters of the League.
These are industrial individual titans of industry, and they talk to each other and they wound each other up into ever-increasing frenzy and denunciation of the man in the White House. They become quite a fevered, conspiracy-oriented group of individuals. They are the people who go on to form the American Liberty League.
The treasurer of this organization was the broker Grayson Murphy. A little research has revealed that he was none other than the boss of the man at the center of the plot allegations, Gerald Maguire. Later in the McCormack-Dickstein report, a shipping company called Hamburg America Line was accused of providing free passage to Germany to American journalists willing to write favorable copy on Hitler's rise to power. The company is also alleged to have brought Nazi spies and pro-fascist sympathizers into America. John Buchanan has studied this later section of the report and has discovered that one of the company's managers came from a very famous family.
The thing that surprised me most was to discover in the documents that this company, Hamburg America Lines, had in fact been managed on the U.S. side at the executive level by Prescott Bush as part of a web of Nazi business interests that were all seized in late 1942 under the Trading with the Enemy Act by the U.S. Congress. And Prescott Bush is the grandfather of the sitting president of the United States.
Of course, at the time, it was perfectly legal to have dealings with Hitler's Germany. Prescott Bush was not called to account for this until America entered the war. Neither was it a crime to be a member of a lobby group like the Liberty League, and I found no firm evidence that the Liberty League itself was behind the plot to overthrow their country's democratically elected president. But academics like Professor Tony Badger believes that it was, at the very least, a magnet for those with such intentions.
It would always surprise me if they had been really, there had been a lot of very fine-tuned planning. But the sense that forces that might be unleashed by the New Deal posed such a threat that desperate measures might be needed does ring true.
But yet again, the evidence is hard to find. You'd have thought that if there was any linking leading American industrialists of the day to a plot against the president, I'd be able to find it at the National Archives in Washington. Yet when John Buchanan and I leafed through the rather thin files there, we found no direct reference to any of these people. Though I'm now starting to wonder whether any such evidence has been removed or deliberately withheld from the records in the first place. General Butler seemed to have harboured similar suspicions. After the investigating committee published its findings, he accused its members of deliberately editing out of his testimony the names of top business people who he had linked to the plot. On the 17th of February 1935, just after the committee had published its findings, he had this to say on Radio WCAU.
Like most committees, it has slaughtered the little and allowed the big to escape. The big shots weren't even called to testify. They were all mentioned in the testimony. Why was all mention of these names suppressed from the testimony?
The co-chairman, Samuel Dickstein, admits that the papers were censored, but insisted that this was for a very good reason.
The testimony given by General Butler was kept confidential until such time as the names of the persons who were mentioned could be checked upon and verified. This accounts for the fact that when the results of the hearings were made public, references were omitted.
That argument would have seemed fair enough if names had later been checked and verified. Yet most of the senior figures implicated in General Smedley Butler's evidence were never asked to appear before the committee to answer the questions raised. Even though, had the allegations against them been found to be true, people like Irene DuPont and banker J.P. Morgan could have faced the death sentence for treason.
The investigations mysteriously turned to vapor when it comes time to call them to testify. FDR's main interest was getting the New Deal passed. And so he struck a deal in which it was agreed that the plotters would walk free if Wall Street would back off of their opposition to the New Deal and let FDR do what he wanted.
John Buchanan. With their cover blown, it seems likely that the plotters and their wealthy backers had little option but to accept such a deal and return to the business they knew best, making money. But what chance would such a coup have had anyway? Even with millions of dollars and 500,000 veterans at their disposal, could the plotters ever have pulled it off against the armed forces of a great power like the US? Well, according to Professor Tony Badger, back then it might not have been quite as difficult as it now seems.
The American army was anything but powerful in 1933. A peacetime army had been reduced to 120,000-130,000, scattered all over the United States. It was a depressing and soul-destroying business being an army officer in the United States in the 1920s and 1930s. So I think the sense that the American army as such was a powerful group that could have put down any trouble. It has to be seen in that context.
Though Professor William Becker of George Washington University insists that defeating the Federal Army would only be the first of many big challenges still facing the coup leaders.
I just remain extremely skeptical about this because the U.S. government was, in fact, very, very decentralized. When one talks about, you know, seizing power, I just think it would be extremely difficult given the decentralized nature of the government. There would have been enormous resistance to that.
Professor William Becker, perhaps the biggest remaining question is whether, had the coup gone ahead and been successful, the American people would ever have put up with a dictator in the White House. It seems unlikely. After all, this is a nation that describes itself as the land of the free, the home of democracy. But Professor Michael Kazin is not quite so dismissive. He believes that if we today are ready to accept the loss of some of our liberties in return for personal security, might Americans of the Great Depression have been just as ready to sacrifice some of their freedoms for food, jobs, and financial security?
People wanted security. I mean, the key word in the 30s, as now for that matter, was security. Social security, of course, health security. And Americans, I think, in the 30s cared more about security than they did about democracy. And so if a group of businessmen, with the help of some people, former military people or current military people, could have fairly quickly brought the economy back, created the sense of security, then yes, it is possible that they would have gotten some popular support.
America would have become a dictatorship. Democracy would have been gone. America would have joined Hitler and Mussolini as a fascist triumphant.
Document, The White House Coup, was presented by Mike Thompson. The readers were Peter Marinka and Kerry Shale, and the producer was Philip Sellers.
You can listen to great speeches and interviews on accesssacramento.org, or you can go to greatspeechesandinterviews.blogspot.com.
Show me a prison, show me a jail, show me a prison man whose face is growing pale, and I'll show you a young man with many reasons why, and there but for fortune may go you or I. Show me an alley, show me a train, show me a hobo who sleeps out in the rain, and I'll show you a young man with many reasons why, and there but for fortune may go you or I. Show me the whiskey that stains on the floor. Show me a drunken man as he stumbles out the door. And I'll show you a young man with many reasons why. And there but for fortune may go you or I. Show me a country where the bombs had to fall. Show me the ruins of the buildings once so tall. And I'll show you a young land with so many reasons why. And there but for fortune may go you or I, or I.
Hello. My name is like Bambi, and okay, I am blonde. Like, people think that just because I am blonde that I am, like, stupid. That is, like, so untrue. I, like, graduated from high school and everything, and I'm, like, intelligent, articulate, and I have a vocabulary as big as, like, whatever. And as for all this talk about sex, I do not have sex with just anybody. They have to be men. And not, like, the whole football team either. Just the starters. So before you go around saying bad things about blondes like me, you should, like, find out more about the person inside. Like, Not the stuff inside a person, you know, like your guts and stuff. That would be so grody.
There are millions of blondes across the country.
Ew, who even wants to think about that?
And the numbers continue to grow.
Like, what were we talking about?
Please, help them.
I'm sorry, I am like totally spaced here.
A message from the National Institute of the Blonde. Venice Beach, California, 60609.
Like, are you still going to pay me for this? Because my credit card is like totally maxed out and I could really use the money, you know?
Another man done gone. Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the collar farm. Another man done gone. I didn't know his name. 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 Didn't know his name. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He had a They killed another man. They killed another man. They killed another man. They killed another man. Killed another man. Another man and gone. Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
I know some kids who have two moms, others who have one. I know some kids who have two dads, others who have none. Now, if they love their kids, that's the real test. But I'll tell you what I think is the very best. I've got two mommies, but I'll tell you what is more. I also have two daddies, and I think I'll keep all four. I also have two daddies, and I think I'll keep all four. Kids ask me how this happened. It's a little hard to say. All that I can tell them is I really like it just this way. Cause you know sometimes three of them are busy, but then there's always one who can come and play with me. I've got two mommies, but I'll tell you what is more. I also have two daddies, and I think I'll keep all four. I also have two daddies, and I think I'll keep all four. Now sometimes life is hard, as everybody knows. Sometimes things just don't go your way, that's just the way it goes. But with two mommies and two daddies, the skies are always bright. There's always one to cheer me up, make everything alright. I've got two mommies, but I'll tell you what is more. I also have two daddies, and I think I'll keep all four. I also have two daddies, and I think I'll keep all four.
Thank you. with the rich, walk with the poor, learn from each other. That's what love is for. Don't you
let nobody drag your spirit down.
Tie your spirit
let
down.
Let nobody drag your spirit down.
Oh, come on up to heaven. Don't let nobody tie
let
your spirit down.
Let nobody drag your spirit down. Let nobody drag your spirit down.
Don't you
let nobody drag your spirit down.
Don't you
let nobody drag your spirit down.
Don't you
let nobody drag your spirit down.
Ooh. Yeah. Can I say it?
Let nobody drag your spirit
come
down.
Some say yeah.
Some say yes.
Some say no. To wait, see which way the wind blows.
Don't let nobody drag your spirit down. Let nobody drag your spirit down.
Keep on walking up to heaven.
That's all, folks.